All right, so if you're a volunteer today, listen, I know we're tired. We're war-worn, I know that. But if you would be on standby with me, we volunteered ourselves as tribute this afternoon to make up the time that these guys, the 3 hours they missed this morning to be with us. So we fed them breakfast this morning. And if you cooked breakfast this morning would you stand just if you had any part? It was a rush order this morning because we got a late note. Stand up if you actually cooked this morning. And I was yelling at people that just cooked some bacon. Barbara's not in here. Yeah, Barbara and Sean, Wendy, Melissa, everybody was making it happen this morning. So let me encourage you, if you have not served someone during this storm or during this crisis, you need to ask God, why not? You need to serve others in Jesus' name, not just to make money on it. We've done it for volunteer. We became a disaster relief site. I'm a little bit hot this morning if you turn me down a little bit, Jonah. We became a disaster relief site, and I think we've just become a permanent one for the state of South Carolina. So we're working that partnership out. We'll have more next week. We're going to have an administrative meeting, short one next week, but we have a lot of data. We have deacons to put on. We have this information I got to give you this week, and we'll be putting out stuff electronically because we didn't plan for a hurricane to knock us out and knock us out of power so we couldn't communicate. So listen, get your serve on, church. We've been serving heavily, and I know some of us there's still some in this room that don't have power. Generators are running right here behind the church. Still, so we're going door to door giving food. It's amazing what God's done to give us the ability to reach people. And I think we've had enough food. We agreed with the Alabama Baptist Convention Disaster Relief and the South Carolina Baptist Convention Disaster Relief. We've unloaded a truck here at 1:30 in the morning, and then we had it ready to serve people the next day. And we've helped 12 to 15 churches with lots of carloads and truckloads to take back to their respective churches, to feed their community. So Town Creek's had a big reaching arm this year, and it's been beautiful to see churches, not just Baptist churches, work hand in hand and come by here. And I've met pastors I've never met since I've been in Aiken. So I thank God for COVID, and I thank God for hurricanes, just for the record, all right? So he uses troubled times sometimes to get our attention and let us as Christians work together. So we have had the beautiful opportunity to bless one another and be able to be together. We will be back here tonight at 5 o'clock. I do have a surprise for you tonight, so if you've been coming to Experiencing God, come on back tonight. If you haven't attended Experiencing God, we invite you still back tonight. I got some really important news and some VIPs I want you to meet, and we'll introduce that tonight, and then we'll launch into, it's going to lead into next Sunday, so there's a lot coming. When I was a kid, I started thinking, as I've been praying, I don't ever have a problem sleeping, but the last few nights I've been laying in bed like this. What did I forget? You ever do those days? Like, I had so much going on. It made me think of when I was a kid and me and my cousins or brothers would drink out of the hose, and we call it a hose pipe, right? Who would call it a hose pipe? And some of you call it a garden hose or just a hose. We used to turn it on, I'm thirsty. We used to drink out of a hose. That was when, before we knew it was not politically correct or poisonous or whatever. We still do at our house. And we would turn the hose on, and it barely turned it on. You're sipping water. Have you ever done this? And then you maximize the volume of the water, and it blows up their nose and starts a fight, and then you forget what you got the hose for, and you start squirting each other, and it turns into a whole bunch of chaos. Well, that's what I feel like God's been doing lately, but he just said, hold on, it's coming, and he's given us capacity to handle it. But he's been firing off on us in ministry with a large garden hose. He's been putting at us with a heavy stream for us. And if you've been here, you know. If you've drugged limbs this week, you know. If you've been experiencing God, you know. And someone said, why is God doing this? And I said, didn't you read chapter 6? God works through circumstances, right? Amen? Y'all skipped your work this week, didn't you? Some of you should have said amen if you did the work. God's been working through circumstances. It's happening all around us. And what we have to do is be prepared to adjust our schedule, adjust our life, and go with God. So I think he's going to be moving even faster as the days get shorter. So let's get into the book of Amos. If you've been with us, or we've been in the book of Amos, we only have one more chapter next week, and then we're going to get into some foundations of our faith. So we're in Amos chapter 8 today, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to read the chapter, and then we're going to go right into the scripture. And I'm told this morning during our prayer time, I said, I feel like I'm reading the book of America instead of the book of Amos because it applies to us today. And last week, I wanted to make sure I should have brought one, but my wife was telling me how awesome the message was on the pipeline last week. She told me how awesome the pipeline was, and I'm like, it wasn't a pipeline, it was a plumb line. It was the difference between a pipeline and a plumb line. She said, yeah, that's what I meant. So I hope that you had an opportunity to go find out what a plumb line was. I should have brought one and hung it right here. You would have seen that there was a 90-degree angle coming right off this. But we have a good time at our house. And tonight, today is the message is, what do you see? Remember last week we read, God asked Amos, what do you see? And he saw the locusts. And God, please don't do that to your people. What do you see? And he saw the destruction. God, please don't do that to your people. What do you see? And he saw, it's a plumb line. It's what masons use to make a 90 degree. And he said, that's the law of God. That's the righteousness of God. And the people of Israel have gone so far from the straight, plumb, narrow way of God and gotten far from God, my judgment's coming. So in chapter 8, we transition one more time. And God gives this fruit farmer, this sheep breeder, that's what Amos is. He told us in chapter 7 who he was and what he did. He said, I'm just a simple man. I'm not a prophet nor a son of a prophet. But let me tell you, God, I was herding my sheep, and I was actually picking those sycamores, and God told me to preach. And so he came, and if you want to know what a prophet is, sometimes we think prophets are this high-ranking position that God gave in the Old Testament. Elijah, all the prophets were just preachers. God told them what to preach, and they just preached the word of God because they believed the word of God. So today, as we preach, we believe the word of God, and we're going to find out today, Town Creek, we're an anomaly in our society today, and you'll find out why we'll get to the notes, because we believe God's word is God's word. And we preach God's word, even if it offends us, if it cuts us, if it rebukes us, if it corrects us, we believe God's word is God's word, and God is always right 100% of the time. Amen? So let's read together. We're going to begin in verse 1 in chapter 8. Word of God says this, thus said the Lord God, showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. What has he seen yet so far, church? A basket of summer fruit. Anybody have peaches left over? If you're not from South Carolina, the best peaches in South Carolina are July peaches, all right? June peaches are a little bit hard, a little bit tart. July peaches are just right. They've been on the vine just long enough. But August peaches get sweeter. And what's happening to August peaches into September peaches? They're starting to get soft and rotten. And like, if you don't, you just can't control the decay, they're going to die. So this is the late summer fruit. Harvest is over. He's seeing a basket of fruit. You ever had fruit just sit on your table? We had some guests in our house, and they left some bananas, and they look really ugly, really nice late summer fruit that we're talking here. So this fruit he sees is hyper-ripe in a basket, all right? And let's continue. So the Lord says this, thus said the Lord God showed me, behold, a basket of summer fruit. I was going to bring one this morning. That's the only reason I brought that up. They're pretty gnarly looking. I thought it was cool. Verse 2, and he said, Amos, what do you see? Amos is pretty sharp. So I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people, Israel. Mark that in your Bible. The end has come for my people, Israel. And not a permanent end, because God always has a remnant. You'll see in chapter 9. I will not pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be wailing in that day, says the Lord God. Many dead bodies everywhere, they shall be thrown out in silence. Hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail, saying, when will the new moon be passed and that we may sell grain and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat, making the ephod small and the shekel large, falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall the land not tremble for this and everyone mourn who dwells in it? All of it shall swell like the river, heave and subside like the river of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your feast into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north, all the way from the north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of the Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Let's pray together. Father God, bless the reading of your word and the hearing of your word today. In Jesus' name, And for his sake we pray, amen and amen. Now there's a lot here, there's more than one message, but we have to skip rocks as we go through this because you should be reading. If you're expecting the preacher to feed you every week, you're going to starve to death, right? You have a famine of your own if you're not reading God's word yourself. And say, what does that mean? And I'll explain as much as I can this morning and preach as much as I can this morning, but I want you to have the notes so that you can actually see and take it to work this week because, as I told you, it's almost like the book of Amos could be titled the Book of America today because what Amos is telling the people of Israel, listen, I'm telling you, God is not going to hold us guiltless in America. We're going to find judgment upon judgment upon judgment. And I believe the homosexuality, the transgenderism, the abortion issue is all judgments of God. God said, you want that America? You can have that America. And how many people are standing up even fighting that they're going to vote for a candidate that gives a woman a right to choose to murder her baby? You do not have a choice in the eyes of God to murder your baby. If you've had an abortion, God will forgive you. But listen, young girls and young ladies and future ones that will be pregnant, you do not have a choice to eliminate a life. If you do, you choose to murder that child. And I know that's hard words, and I know there's children in the room today, but we need to know that God is definitely for life. He's not a pro-life or pro-choice God. He is a God who's for life. He created life, and he intended life to be. He's no accidental, oops, there's a baby. He knows every life when it begins and knows when every life ends. We as people have done, like the people of Israel, we have sinned against God. Go to your notes if you would. I want you to see this. God gave Amos a vision. This is a vision of a summer fruit in a basket. This was evidence that the harvest had concluded. We're at the end of the season. And the fruit had been gathered into a burden-bearing basket. You say, why would you call it that? Baskets, for the most part, now in America, we use them as decorations, but if you travel almost in any culture around the world, a basket is used to carry a load of something. A basket is used to carry, it bears a burden of heavy. I know in China, we carried bricks up a mountain. The older ladies, little short Chinese ladies, gave me their baskets, and I was still this size when I was up there, and I'd put the baskets on, and they would load me down. I'd dip down, and they'd put about 100 pounds of brick, and then I had to climb the mountain, 1,400 feet up the mountain, at about 13,000 to 14,000 feet elevation. I couldn't breathe. I'm overweight, and I'm miserable, and I'm stretched like this, going up the mountain, and I'm puffing, and about every 15 feet, I'd have to stop and say, I can't catch my breath, because their basket wouldn't fit me, but they would load those baskets down. Those ladies would carry those baskets up and down the hill with the same amount of weight that I had. I was so embarrassed that I couldn't keep up with these little old ladies that were climbing the mountain with no problems whatsoever. But those burden baskets are saying, listen, this is carrying a heavy weight. So the basket is not just there as a ornamental piece here in the scripture. It is actually a picture of the burden of God's judgment, but also a burden of the weight of their sin. God sees this fruit. The harvest is over. The season is over. It's been collected. And what he's saying is now is the time. The summer fruit's here. It's rotting, and now is the time for the judgment of God. Look at this. Just as the harvest marked the end of the growing season, the basket of summer fruit signified the coming judgment of God in which the rebellious people of Israel would reap the bitter harvest they had sown. I put in there for you the scripture we read this morning, Galatians 6 and then verses 7 through 10. We don't believe this scripture. We read it, but we don't believe it, especially in America. The Bible is very clear. Whatever a man sows, that man or woman shall reap. You sow to the flesh, you're going to reap from the flesh. You sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap from the Spirit of God. Now, the Bible is very clear. Listen, some people say, well, that sounds like karma. No, karma sounds like scripture when you come back in, because people understand in the South, they don't speak either one unless you're in church. They say, you better watch out. The cows always come home, or the chickens go back to what? Roost. You know that if you have chickens and you open the gate after some time, the chickens will go out. They'll spend all day going everywhere. But at the end of the day, usually when sunset, they're coming back and they're back in their pen, ready for you to lock them up and ready for the next day. They'll do it all over again and come back home. The cows come home, the chickens come home. Listen, the judgment of God comes home. Well, you reap what you sow. And some of us, as we get older, we see some things in our bodies that we had accidents or we did, I'll say the word crazy things because the kids are in here, but there were some things that probably didn't register on the scale of making a lot of sense that we did in our past. And I said, before my dad died, when he was still in his right mind, I said, man, my shoulder's killing me. He said, yeah. It's the high cost of low living. And I said, well, that stuck with me forever. I'm feeling a whole lot more of those costs right now, aren't y'all? Some people are suffering from COPD because they smoked their whole life. Some people are now, they let their kids run wild and they got adult kids and they don't know what to do. Pastor, how do we fix it? The Bible's clear. Whatever you sow, it's in life, in the flesh. You're going to reap from the flesh. And whatever you sow to the Spirit, if you live a life that's righteous before God, as best as God gives you opportunity and lives through you, you're going to reap those things, those blessings from God. Yes, you'll have spiritual warfare. We know that Ephesians 6 tells us that. But God is faithful to keep you and see that actually his righteous ones are treated like his righteous ones. We're going to suffer persecution. I told Brother Eddie, I think storms come with him because ever since I've run into him, I've had crisis in my life since I met him and having conversations with him. But there's storms that's coming. There's spiritual warfare that happens. And even when we were helping disaster relief, there's people that actually come in and goes, I heard y'all have food. And I called the people that were in charge of us, and we want to serve our community. We really do. But we told other churches. We had churches call us and say, we'd like to order. I said, this is not Uber, and this is not Amazon. Our people up here at 1:30 in the morning unloading and stacking. Our women and men are sorting. Get your behinds up here and do your own work and then get your own food. Right? Amen? Y'all didn't amen. Y'all are too passive, right? Listen, if you don't work, the Bible says you shouldn't what? Eat. And that, listen, it's very clear. We had people sacrifice hours and hours. I'm telling you, in 2 days, some people in this church have put in more work in 2 days than most people in this town put in a week. I'm saying that to the glory of God. I'm not saying that to shame anyone. I'm just telling you, they were people dedicated to helping those in need, going out into the community and helping those in need. And where does it begin first? Galatians 6:10 tells us, where should we begin our charity first? In the household of God, in the family of God, we start here and we go there. And we've been blessed to do here and to go there. And the churches that have come, they called. And one church emailed me and said, hey, we'd like for y'all to bring it to us. And we're like, we don't make deliveries. And another church said, we can't get up there. And I said, I hate that for you. Right? So surely if you can drive, do you have a car? Yes. It's a small car. Okay, you get a small load. Amen? Just come do something. Come be a part of it. We want you to exercise and give of yourself sacrificially so that others might know about Jesus and others might be physically fed. This is what God's called, even the people of Israel, watch. He's asking them to turn back. There's needy people. There's people that are poor. There's people all over that are suffering, and all you're doing is making money on them. We took not $1 in from this, but there's people who are saying, let me make a donation because you guys are doing work. People are recognizing, listen, the Bible says, let your good works do what? Let them be done so that men may see them and do what? Not bring glory to Town Creek, not bring glory to any of us that worked, but bring glory to your Father who is in heaven. And that's what we're doing this for. It's for the glory of God. We're reaching out in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, what is true and undefiled religion before God and man? What is it? That we help the fatherless, that we help the orphan, that we go out and that we help the widow, that we help those that are in need. We help everyone we can. We start at the household of God and we go out. And God's blessed us this week that we might do that. Look at point number two. The grotesque, unrepentant sins of Israel had reached their limit with God. Listen, here's the conclusion. Listen. I should have capitalized that. The appointed time of God's judgment had arrived for his chosen people. Look what he says. He calls them my people. Look at verse 2. The end has come upon capital. If you have a New King James, my people Israel. God knew that he'd called them out. God knew that he had chosen them. God knew that he had blessed them. And God called them to repentance. God called them to repentance. God called them to repentance. And they would not repent. So God said, the end has come and now judgment's here. The harvest is over. I've waited the season. Their fruit is full of sin and I'm bringing judgment. So they were the chosen people of God. Don't forget that they still are the chosen people of God. We as a church, we're in a special place today, y'all. This is the best time, I think, of history to ever live as a human, I think, today. Yes, I would like to walk with Jesus, but I probably wouldn't have been one of the chosen ones. Or maybe I would have because I was the sons of thunders. I'd probably been my friends, right? That's the guys I would have hung out with. But listen, we have the Holy Spirit living in us today and through us that we might live this Christian life on behalf and in and through the Holy Spirit, right? You're not doing it. If you're trying to do it by yourself, you're failing. I'm telling you, you're failing. Everyone around you knows you're failing. You know you're failing. If you're trying to be good, if you're trying to just do good works, you're failing because you cannot do it on your own. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, right? Not of your works, that you can't brag before God, but it's of the Holy Spirit. God has given you the grace. God has given you the faith. And then when you accept Christ, he says, now go do the good works that I've ordained for you to do. A lot of us are trying to put the cart way before the horse. God's not interested in what you can do. He don't want your ability necessarily. He wants your availability. And when you avail yourself to him, then he says, now I can use you. Now I can put you to work doing what I want you to do. And what he calls you to do, it's impossible. When God calls you to do a job, it doesn't make sense. And for a church, I'm telling you, things are moving so fast, it does not make sense what God is doing at Town Creek Baptist Church. With the youth, all the youth are up in the mountains today. Listen, they're having an awesome time of being teenagers, but the same token, they're going deeper in their faith. There's going to be incidents and accidents, I guarantee you. Someone's got Band-Aids on, someone's bleeding, someone shot somebody in the face with a paintball gun. There's something that they're going to come back, and they're going to be moaning about something, but you ask them how was their time. Oh, we had a great time. Jimmy got his arm cut off. Lisa lost a toe, but it was awesome, right? It's teenagers. They have that spirit. So when they come back, moms and dad, when they come back, they're going to be tired and grumpy. Remind them about their spiritual encounter with God this weekend. And remind them, listen, you got to bring this back to your school. You got to bring this back to your home. Keep it going. Don't let it fade out when you get here at home. Let's go back to the word and back to your notes. Love had vanished from the hearts of God's people, especially for him and for their neighbors in need. Israel constantly oppressed the poor. They sold them, y'all. The Bible says they were trading them poor people for a pair of sandals. If you don't think somebody's worthy of even your feet, something's wrong with you, wouldn't you believe? They walked under they said, look at the scripture says, they falsified the scales. They couldn't wait for the Sabbath day again. Good grief, we Jews can't trade on the Sabbath. When is it over? I can't wait for the Sabbath to be over so we can sell our product. And look what they were selling. They were selling everything, even the husk of the wheat. They were selling the stuff that no one can actually, was not edible. They'd crush it, make it look like wheat. They were selling everything. These were, as we're from, they were a bunch of dirty dogs. They were doing people wrong, wrong, and wrong. And everybody who was oppressed or poor, if we would go back and read the earlier chapters, we know that even the judges would not hear the justice. When the poor would cry out, the judges wouldn't hear it because they were bribed or paid off. So the rich kept getting richer. The poor kept getting poorer. And God said, enough, the end has come, harvest is over, and I'm bringing judgment. And that's what he brings. Matthew 22, 36 through 40, the Bible is very clear on how we should live. Y'all know if you read this passage, we call it the Great Commandment. And the young rich lawyer asked Jesus, which is the greatest command? And what did he say? Look at this in the verse. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. If you read Mark adds strength. This is the first and the great command, but Jesus didn't stop there. He goes on. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How do you know this? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All the law and prophets. What is the law referencing to? The Mosaic law. What were these people that were reading about Amos? What were they supposed to be under? The Mosaic law. Now, they had not followed the Mosaic law for some time. Even Jews today that reference Moses, they don't give two hoots about Moses deep down inside. It's superficial. They'll give accolades to Moses. They'll say Moses was our prophet. We don't believe in Jesus Christ. We believe Moses gave us the law, and they follow the traditions of men. Every time Jesus condemned the Pharisees and scribes, he said, you follow the traditions of men. You follow Rabbi so-and-so. What he come up with, you say, oh, we'll follow him. Because the Jews could not make sacrifice. They could not have true worship and forgiveness of sin unless they'd made their sacrifices according to the law. And where was the temple? The temple was in Judah. The tribes had separated, the 10 tribes of the north. They had separated, and the king said, hey, don't worry about it. We'll build our own temples. He built two temples, and he put golden calves in those temples. That's what they swear by at the end of this chapter. They're by the golden calf in Samaria. They swore by the actual god of gold that was in the temple. They had worshiped idolatry over and over again. Look at your next note there. Israel had disregarded God's commandments and instead devoted their lives to pursuing worldly pleasures and desires. Does that sound like America today? It's awful quiet in here. Does that sound like America today? Yes, it is. And listen, it's not just America. You can go around the world. Even when people don't have much riches, they'd rather chase after the things of this world, after voodoo, witchcraft. They'll go after small things other than going after God. Until the truth is given them and the Holy Spirit works in their life. God made an oath. God swore by himself. Look at verse 7. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob. You know what the pride of Jacob is and was? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, by myself, I'm swearing this oath. This is going to happen because he saw. God didn't just see today and tomorrow and yesterday. God sees all of eternity at one time. He's not limited by the past. He's not limited by anything that might come in what we deem the future. God's over and outside this place we call the universe. He stands involved in his own creation, but he's above and outside of his creation. We don't fully fathom that and understand that. I don't even understand what I just told you, but I believe it. Isn't that crazy? Because God is God and I am not. God made an oath that by his own, that he, through his heritage, that would be Jacob, Jacob's pride, he would finalize what he promised. Look at the next note. Due to their disobedient lifestyle, God caused joy to gradually fade from their character until he took it from them completely. Did you know that our songs today, if you listen to secular radio or even some of the church songs, and Chris and I had this conversation, there's a lot of songs that I just cannot stand that's deemed Christian songs. We sing more about the trash of our former life than we talk about the redemption of our current and future success and victory in Jesus. When we were kids, we used to rear back, oh, victory in Jesus. We used to sing with all of our hearts that we had victory in Jesus. And today, if you listen to the songs for a lot of the church, there's no adoration to our Father. There's no call to God himself. We sing about God. Chris, I thank you for that we sing to God. We can brag about him. We can sing about him, and we should, but we should be singing and talking to him on a regular basis. Today, we sing from defeat. You read people, you got little five-year-olds singing, my chains are gone, right? A five-year-old has no chains other than sin. They don't even know what a sinful lifestyle many times are. We talk about my brokenness, and a lot of these artists are former addicts, and they're writing from their former addict lifestyle, and if they are saved, and I'll caveat that, if they are saved, they're writing from that redemption from their standpoint. But we as a church and as a people have absorbed WAFJ 88.3 into our lives, and we claim those songs that are not ours to claim. We claim promises today from the Bible that are not ours to claim. We can learn from those Bible verses. We can learn from someone's life. But if someone has had a traumatic life experience, writes a song about it, sings that song, it is not your song. Can you use it? Yeah, God can use it in your life, but it's not your song. Even these promises to Israel, a lot of people want to claim the promises that were promised to certain people. A lot of people are waiting for their own personal burning bush. I got news for you. As far as I understand, there was one burning bush. There was one ark. That Moses had an ark too. I guess there were two arks. He had a baby ark. He had a baby version his mama made him. But what I want you to understand is when we come to the Word of God, we come to His commandments, thus said the Word of God. Everybody wants to understand, Pastor, I don't understand, and I get phone calls, I don't understand the mystery of God in this certain situation. Me either. If there's a mystery of God, He says it's a mystery, what does it mean for us as humans? If it's not explained in Scripture, guess what it is? It's a mystery. 90% of the Bible, or even greater, I'm sure it's probably 99%, I've never done the stats, is not a mystery. Jesus said, you must be born again. Okay, and that's a mystery. How? Well, he explains. Your mama gave birth to you the first time. So everybody, look around, and everybody, even kids, y'all look up at me real quick. How many of you understand that, maybe if you're adopted or you don't know who your parents are, but if you're here today, how many of y'all understand that your mama gave birth to you today? Raise your hand if you understand that. Look around, everybody look around. Some people thought they were hatched. All right, raise your hand. No, keep it up. I want everybody to look. Hold your hands up. Senior adults, I know this is so elementary, but the kids are learning from you. You didn't come from an egg. Well, I guess you did, but not that kind of egg. Listen, we know that what it means to be born of the flesh. We have a birthday, even if someone tells us what that day is. We know that we live life. And when Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again, he goes, how? Can I go back inside my mother's womb? God said, no, I'm trying to tell you a spiritual thing, a mystery. You must be born again. Your mama gave birth to you the first time. The Spirit of God must give birth to you the second time. Well, then we say, how? He goes on to explain. And we quote the verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't come into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You cannot call upon the name of the Lord unless he draws you to himself. You won't make a decision that I'll do it next week or the week after that. You'll make a decision when God calls on you, when he knocks on your heart's door and says, today's the day of salvation. I believe that you can resist God. I know that I've heard the message more than one time that I needed to be born again, and I struggled and fought through it. But I thank God that he called me yet again and again, and then I surrendered to God. But listen, the joy had left these people. And you listen to the songs, listen to secular radio, listen to country music. Do you hear any joy in country music? It's about drinking alcohol. It's about tearing up property. It's about the bar, the local bar. They even now mix church and Jesus in with cussing right behind it. It's all downer music. This is what happened to these people. Look at the music. Look at the music. They turned into funeral dirges when they were singing songs. When it used to be the sounds of victory that God saved us, God brought us out of slavery, God redeemed us. And now they're singing the songs, woe is me, times are rough. And they just the song continues to go down and down. The joy, like an air out of a tire, was leaving the people and they didn't even realize it. They were doing it themselves, but it was just coming out. And let me tell you something today. Some of us talk about joy. Do you have joy in your heart? And some say, oh, I struggle with it. Listen, then you're struggling with the Spirit of God. Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Where does joy come from? Spirit of God. Some of you say, Pastor, I just pray for patience. Love, joy, peace. You don't have to pray for those things. You get those, you get the supreme package when you get in with Jesus. Amen? You get the whole deal. You get all nine fruit of the Spirit. It comes out of love, but you get them all. Now, you have to exercise that. And James tells us later, Peter tells us that when we're going through those tough times, God is working in that time and in us and through the Spirit of God to make us and mold us more like Him. You will be persecuted for His name's sake, said Jesus Christ. But when you go through persecution, instead of griping and complaining, listen, what do? Lord, I don't understand this. I don't like this. This hurts. And He's like, I understand. I'm watching. I'm going to bring you through it. I even told Chris and Kenzie, I jumped in the shower this week. And y'all know last Sunday, everything was cold showers. We've been taking showers. Y'all, if you had been in the Navy, a Navy shower, you turn the water on, turn it off, soap up, turn the water, turn it off, and wash off. That's it. That's all you get in the Navy. Unless you're a senior chief and above. You just kidding. So I'm taking Navy showers, and then when the hot water came back on, I set the water jumping. Ah! Doggone hot water. First thing I did when I had hot water, I complained. I complained it was too hot. I said, God, forgive me. We are such knuckle-headed humans. We gripe when we don't have power. We gripe when we have cold water only. We gripe when we have hot and cold water. We gripe when we have warm water. We gripe when it's cold. How many of y'all complained that your air conditioner was too cold after it came back on? Anybody? Yeah, but it's cold in here, right? When you're in the middle of the stuff, like, it's hot, I can't believe, right? People walking around with no clothes on and acting like a fool, right? They were. This happened. And then when the air conditioning comes back on, we go, phew, it's cold in here. We get a cover. And then we get back to acclimating to where we are. We're never, ever satisfied as humans. And I said, God, I would hate your job. I mean, if I was God, it'd be awesome. But I can imagine if you put me in charge of just listening to people's gripes. Can you imagine in heaven if you had that job? Oh, you'd be depressed, I'm sure. All right, let's get, but thank you, God, that you're God and we are not. Amen? He's above all. Thank you, God. Like Joel, we preached in the book of Joel. Amos preached the day of visitation. And I'm not going to spend time on that, but there's a day coming. Listen, the Bible's clear. God has committed a future day of judgment for all men, women, and children. You can look up the day of visitation, the future of God. We've preached to that. You can look at our sermons on Joel. And as Israel chose to sink deeper, listen, it was a choice to sin. Were there people that were choosing to do the right thing? In that remnant of people, were there people choosing to do the right thing? Just like there are people today that choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Once He knocks on the heart's door and He says, follow me, they say, yes, sir. Some people say, I just don't understand the Bible. I don't understand the Bible, that's why I don't read it. It confuses me. If you don't understand the Bible, let me go and be clear with you. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If you don't understand the Bible that you have, first thing I would diagnose with you is you might not be saved. Because God has promised that He will not give His supernatural word, understanding of His word, to a natural man. If you're not a Christian, you cannot and you will not understand the Bible. Yes, you'll read it for historical facts. Yes, you'll read it for history, for the math that's in there. It's accurate. For the science that's in there, it's accurate. But you will not understand fully the meaning of the word of God. So number one, you might not be saved. I don't know if you are. Only you and God know that. It's between y'all two. But you could not be saved if you don't understand the word of God. A lot of people say, I don't understand the these and thous in the Bible. There's only a few. I have hidden thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Who is thy? Who am I talking to? God, say it with me. I'm talking to God. That I might not sin against thee. Who's thee? God. So do we understand King James language right there? Thy and thee. Everybody? Come on, give me a yes. Feed me back, right? So it's not the language. Even though King James 6 and 11, I can't read. When I tried at an old Bible, I was like, what version is this? And there's a King James 6 and 11. I'm like, no English I've ever seen. So anyway, it blew me away. So either you're not saved or you're not reading God's word. Because he has committed himself, the Holy Spirit, one of his cool names. He's got a lot of cool names. If you're Jehovah's Witness background, listen, they'll mess you up and say Jehovah's his only name. His name is Jehovah, by the way, just for the record. But God's got such a deep, deep well of names. Every time there was an encounter with God, Jehovah Jireh, he's my shield, he's my rock, he's my protector. But the Holy Spirit has this really cool name for us. He's called the Counselor. That's awesome, right? He's called the Comforter. That's a great thing in time of stress. But here's what I love as being a pastor, and I'm like, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't know Amos from one of my distant cousins, but Lord, I'm trying to understand this. He says he's your teacher. Your teacher. He's the one that actually gives you understanding. He's the one that actually moved men to write the Word of God. They were moved by the Spirit of God to write the Word of God, and therefore the Spirit of God today, when you're saved, you get 100% of the Holy Spirit living inside of you, and he helps you and teaches you to understand what he has on your pages to understand. That's an awesome thing, is it not? It's not. Okay, it is for three of us. It's an awesome thing for three of us. All right, let's finish. Israel chose to sink deeper into sin. They also turned away from the Word of God. In response to their spiritual decline, God declared he would send a catastrophic famine of his word across the land, leaving no one to hear his message. God said, it's not going to be just food or water. I'm not sending that kind of famine. You're not going to hear the bread of life. You're not going to hear anything about my goodness. I am not going to speak to you again. And I think America is so close to this. Listen, look at the last part. Today, we need to guard our hearts. Would you agree? You need to take that word of God and guard your hearts. Many churches are straying from the biblical teachings and the core message of salvation through Christ alone. There's people today, there was a survey just came out from evangelical, whatever that means, pastors. I don't have titles. I'm a biblicist. I like the Bible. I'm a Christian. I follow Christ. I mean, I want to wipe all the titles away and say, what Jesus said, I'm in, right? Whatever, what he said, I'm in. I'm a faithful follower of Christ, want to be. That's my desire in my heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. But they just come up with a survey, or Life, we come up with a survey that actually 25% of pastors that were surveyed said they believe there's other ways to heaven. These are people who say they're Christians like me. They would be in the same meeting that I'm in, and they believe there's other ways to heaven. And I've told you, and I struggle with this, and I say this, and hold on for you, yell at me and correct me if you haven't heard me say it. But I found out when I was praying one day, Lord, how do we combat this? And God said, do what I called you to do. It's called the Great Commission. Go make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them everything I taught you, and remember I'm always with you to the end of the age. And then when I was praying, I realized every religion is going to lead every person to God. But watch this. Can you imagine a mountain right here just for a moment, and God's at the top of the mountain? Every religion's climbing that mountain, and they're going to get to God. But at the top of the mountain, there's a division. Those of us that are Christ followers, we're going to meet him as our Lord and Savior. We're going to meet him, and then we're going to inherit what all of heaven. Can you imagine? We're going to get just to show up there is awesome enough, but we're getting to share in the abundance of what the new heavens and the new earth has to offer. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He's our Father, and we are the family of God. We'll meet him through Jesus Christ. That's the only way to meet him in that capacity. But every other religion is going to make it to what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, and they're going to meet God, the God of the Bible, as their judge. And he's going to tell them, you can read Matthew 7 for yourself, and you can read Revelation for yourself. He's going to tell them to depart from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Some of those things those people said they did, not only if they did, because they could be lying because they're sinners. Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do all these wonderful things in your name? And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. You, here's a key word, workers of iniquity, of sin. You worked in your own flesh. You did it in your own power. I'll have none of that. And the Bible says, one by one, he's going to cast man, woman, boy, and girl into the lake of fire who did not trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. He said, Pastor, that scares me. It should. It should. And there's hope. Listen, the beautiful thing is there's hope in the Lord. Today is the day of salvation. We're about to take the Lord's Supper. And we can say, listen, we're going to remember what he did in the past, what he's done for us on the cross, and what he's going to do in the future coming back for us. We should be telling our loved ones this truth message of the Word of God. Instead of our culture, listen, instead of addressing our culture, it's filled with false teachers promoting messages centered on prosperity, self-esteem, and political agendas. Can I just tell you, sometimes you won't feel good about yourself, but if you're a Christian, that don't make you unsaved. Some days you'll be depressed. Some days you'll have anxiety. The Lord is running out of control. He says, I know, I'll help you. Don't worry. He'll bring you right back to the Word of God, and he'll say, set it aside. Let the Holy Spirit work in through you. You say, well, I just can't do that. Then you don't trust him fully. Let him day by day walk you through. It takes some work. Listen, it takes some discipling. It takes some discipline to be where God wants you to be. But I want to tell you, listen, those who are set free by the Son of God, guess what? They're set free indeed because he is the truth. Amen? All this gender confusion in our society, all this, if it has the word confusion in it, guess what it's from? The author of confusion. And the scripture says, who is the author of confusion? Not God, it's Satan. So I want you to know today, if someone's struggling, saying they're struggling with identity crisis, Satan, just know it's all from the devil. Stand your ground, stand on the Word of God, because the famine is starting to happen in America. The famine, the Word of God is not being spoken in many churches that are called churches today. There's a good homily or something that makes you feel good today. I'm not the best preacher, but listen, I'm going to take the Word of God and divide it as well as I can for the message for us to pick it up for myself and go, was that really? Let me go look at that fruit basket again. Let me go look at that plumb line again and learn God wants to teach you and me something, and he might be working on you in one direction and he's working on me in another direction. And then when he brings us together, we can come together and go, Pastor, did you know? Brother, did you know? Sister, did you know? And it's a sweet time to throw the Word of God out and start saying, listen, this is what God taught me this week. I hope you've been doing that in experiencing God. I hope you've been doing that in experiencing of your life. I hope you're doing that through the book of Amos. We've got one more week, and then we're going to get into the basics of the foundations of our faith. Let me pray for us today, and I want to give you an invitation. Listen, every service, we want to give you an opportunity. Do you want to respond to Jesus Christ? Do you want to say yes to Jesus Christ? I want to give my heart and life to Jesus Christ. We invite you today. Listen, come. We have ministers and deacons that are here. I know Mike's away at camp and Adrian's away. He's down in Orangeburg, I think, today. They came here and served and took off and had to go serve and preach at another church. We're about the kingdom business. But if you want to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ, we're here today for you. Let's stand together. We're going to sing, and I want to pray for us and tell God, listen, how good God is. Let's pray. Father God, it's you that we honor today. It's you that we serve today. But Father, it could be people that I know that might even be watching by computer, by YouTube, Facebook, Lord, whichever way means we have out there. They've never given their heart life to you. Lord, let today be the day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.